Campus Learning Planet, which is the publication you periodically put out each year.
Yep.
So take it away.
Yeah, sure. So I guess my practice always kind of extends through multidisciplinary kind of channels and directions and dimensions, and it's very much about an ambiguity or an unsureness and variety and all those kind of things, which extend towards, I guess, kind of personal political kind of engagement with individualist anarchism and other collectivized forms of anarchism. In very loose and not particularly defined in many ways, I guess. So there's a lot of improvisation and a lot of collaboration in my work. So in this show in particular, there's a few involved collaborative works or involved. There are a few works that are from other people. So Lauren Burrow's work is over there, which is the grand marble kind of top table thingy. So she was in the residency space downstairs before I was here, so I thought it would be nice for her to make something. And so it was Dave Egan, so it's a painting of his. Then also there are a few other collaborative works that are not don't directly involve the artist's hand, I guess. So this recreation of Simon's work, and then the printing of photographs of a few other artists' work on the photos. So there's a few Is Against Good Radio works here, because I've been working with radios and working with radios and static quite a lot recently, so it kind of tied into to Simon's work and to Isa's work in relation to that. But I guess my kind of entry into working with static was more through a noise, kind of a hush, one noise kind of perspective of generative kind of noise, but developed through those kind of those other artists into being more about the objects rather than the sounds, particularly for this show. And the poetry work that's on the wall is, or on the window screen, is, I guess, a textual kind of representation of, well, not representation, but textual kind of iteration of the work. So often I see this sculpture as interrelated and overlapped in a lot of ways. I guess that both of them have a looseness, and both of them are kind of about transferring information and relationships, but in a very confused and not particularly clear kind of way. But with lots of little connections and lots of little parts of meaning that are in view on each other. So
you chose to put all the works on the floor rather than on camps or anything?
Yeah. I'm just that's a regular thing for me. I guess it has a relationship to painting and to poetry in that it's about a flat plane. In the same way as a canvas is working with a flat surface, and a concrete surface. And in the same way as poetry and concrete poetry kind of relate to that. Also, the floor is a very transitory space, I guess, so it feels a lot less fixed when things are on the floor, which I'm interested in. The work not being having a finished kind of appearance, I guess. I mean, and in a way, it is very finished. It's very kind of, everything's very considered, very placed. But there are kind of imagined possibilities there, or there are kind of other ways, different directions that we go. And that kind of overlaps into the relationship to poetry and kind of potential of kind of that economy of words that is in the square kind of surface is something that's definitely looked at a lot in the show, and that, I guess, reflective of the windows. So having lots of photographs and having the screens on the floor, definitely working with and against that idea of the screen or the canvas or the page kind of containing information. I guess it works against it in that those things extend out to other things in the world. They're not, which I mean, all canvas and all screens do, but I think it's definitely where it works positioned. And I guess there's a contrast with the more, well, not really a contrast, but there's a relationship to that with the more propositional kind of objects and the inclusion of a lot of tools and a lot of works, things that appear to be works in process, things that appear to be discarded or to have other lives outside of the artworks.
I was interested when listening to David Gravity sort of talks about the way that anarchism as a kind of political concept doesn't get talked a lot by academics. It's more like practiced out in the world by people doing. And I think that doing is like something that's really active in the work that makes it interesting in relation to Christchurch at the moment. But I always talked about kind of how tools and toys could be two objects that have the same kind of openness in a way.
I mean, I guess when you're an age where toys are kind of marketed towards you, or toys are something that you occupy a lot of time in your life, they are quite open objects at that point, even if they are fully branded or the, you know, the marketing is such that, you know, there's reasons why you're getting a toy that aren't in your control, I guess. But once you kind of have toys, and even if they're you know, Disney or something branded, kind of toy that do. Well, that age group that mostly plays with toys, I guess, is one that can create possibilities in different kind of social scenarios out of any object, and that information or dialogue with objects that are heavily loaded, that can either be emptied out or can be extended on.
It's
only relates to the tools as well.
Because the tools in your installation kind of have this, like, they kind of flirt with the idea of, like, that they're dangerous, but they're not.
Yep.
They're sort of like, kind of almost like an issue, like a picture. They kind of have this, almost like this cuteness, not quite, but like a sort of playfulness that removes them from like being more functional qualities.
And then also in the kind of more kind of black still practical at times, I made it redundant to a degree. I mean, obviously people still use pitchforks, but there's like industrialized farming.
I guess it's a lot of examples of rain as well, which relates to like sweeping out.
That's
the
it.
Well, you've got the door here.
Yeah.
If you want us to turn it to open the woods, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very wide direction. It's a little bit. But yeah, definitely. It's another connection, I guess, to the gesture, to the hand. Yeah. But I guess that there's, or to, yeah, to movement, or, yeah.
There's a relationship to where you place things. How you found the thing?
Yeah, there's,
isn't it a journey sort of thing?
It is, but there's also, I guess the aim is to create kind of a quality to objects, or an evenness to objects, that they're not, I'm sure this is different people depending on their connections to the object, but for me they kind of all read as valuable as each other. And that's something that interests me in relation to making art.
Because I just noticed, like, when I'm looking here, the first things I notice is, like, the evenness of all the aerials in the room, basically.
Yeah.
And, like, how things fit in between those aerials.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, like, wondering, like, you were talking about, like, I came in yesterday, I was, like, wondering, like, well, was it placed certain things into these areas to signify something basically that we don't know about. You know, I keep trying to guess what you're thinking.
Yes and no. I guess I am for an evenness of value, but not necessarily of space or not a formal kind of evenness in that sense. I guess that's like when you're just improvising and playing around with things, that's kind of what you move towards. And then I try to shift that a little bit with some of the other objects. So that probably, with this particular installation, that the placement of the arrows probably was something that I anchored it because of the size of the objects, because that they extended further up into the space.
Because I get this kind of feeling, whenever I look at aerials and the areas, it's like an archaeological site, basically. It's been kind of gridded out.
Yeah.
And like all the objects have been forced to the top of the ground, basically, in the places that they were dug up from.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of get that feeling all the time, basically,
in
that space.
Yeah.
And I think I talked to Rebecca when she was telling me about the show about like recreation of crash airplanes and everything like that, how they sort everything out, put them into certain areas, you know, and then they take those certain areas to then recreate the plane from those places. It's kind of like what I get this kind of feeling, I like to put all these things back together again in some way.
I guess there is that thing that these objects could be reconfigured in a different way or something to make more sense or something. And that's intentional, but what that thing is not necessarily a fully formed thing for me either, I guess. There are things and there are connections between objects that just kind of happen over time as well.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it relates to the political. mentioned and do kind of make structures for living automatically without government, I guess. And the objects in themselves do that, and do that after having different functions, I guess. And do that through eliminating functions as well, or yeah, giving them different functions.
And we tend to do that within ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
We try to create chaos, but it's not really chaos at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's organized chaos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's no chaos. Yeah. And the idea like that family might be like sort of non hierarchical in your work, like it's kind of an equality, but then relationship is sort of prioritized in a way, like they're more important than the objects is the way that you kind of make connections with other things or people that you work with. And there's, I guess, that relates to ideas of kind of, yeah, well, self organizing kind of groups and anarchism and sort of.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's, like political terms are always going to be like problematic in certain ways, and in good and bad ways. But I guess, yeah, the connection to anarchism, I guess, comes out of the fact that it's about socialization, but it's about and relationships, but it's about the individual kind of relationships as well as like bigger relationships. Very anarchism forms of anarchism kind of speak to different. I definitely agree that the relationships between, and that is, or not egoist, but that the value, the kind of aspects of, underlying value or something of the objects and their relationship to the other underlying values of objects kind of more important than the individual objects.
Does like the anarchism that you see here, does that relate to what you see outside, like the total chaos that, is that something that...
Not really.
Living here can make it different.
Nothing's spent much time on this, but I guess you can see, I do notice people, you know, that people do make their own rules for themselves, and so, like in driving and things like that. There are aspects of self-initiation, sure. But I guess I see lots of building infrastructure and things like that, which are...
It's a sort of reflection, it's like in here, and then it's different forms.
I guess I see this as more, like, more, you know, obviously more considered a poetic than, maybe not than the activity of an earthquake, but than the activity of maybe the chaotic aspect of having...
I mean, there's the earthquake and then there's post, you know, there's
exactly.
The government infrastructure, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's all different forms of chaos going on all the time, so...
The government, government form of chaos isn't something that I'm trying to reflect.
And, so it's like personal chaos as well.
I mean, that's, and that is reflection. Yeah, I mean, like the word anarchy particularly, I guess, has been used to kind of mean chaos or to be kind of pejorative.
But
I think it came
out
of the
80s
punk scene, basically.
Even in the 18,
then,
late 1800s.
Because they crossed over so much.
Well, it's punk
chaos
and
so much.
Yeah, and I mean, there are chaos anarchists. There are anarchists who are like interested in nihilism or interested in chaos, and there are things that I'm interested in. Personal dogma or anything, I think it is interesting, and individualist anarchism, which is kind of a very selfish, well, it doesn't say itself as a selfish form, but it's just doing what feels right for you and not worrying about anybody else. It's a kind of individualist anarchist kind of thing, which is quite nihilistic in its own way, but it's interesting to think of if everybody did what they wanted, and if we kind of got rid of morals and all those kind of things, how the world would function. Because I'm sure it would function in some way, whether it would be a horrible way or whether it would be
Not the cunningness. The cunningness.
Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. The track that it could go down, and the individual anarchist, like external, or may not even external.
just want to say, it's like after the earthquakes here, it's like, because people need to move houses and everything like that, all this kind of stuff just started turning up inside the pro.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the biggest things I noticed about that world. It's kind of like, it's part of that kind of like symbol to me as well.
Yeah.
That whole throwaway society, kind of, what's left over.
Yeah. And I mean, that aspect's important to me with workers, to not kind of spend too much money and not have too much waste from it to recycle. So, you know, I think that's like a responsibility that not many artists take on a lot of the time. Because, yeah, art can be very market-driven in a lot of pockets of that world,
which has its place in the market.
Yeah.
Not necessary for everyone to visit, but you don't have to start.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I guess in contemporary society, it's much more widespread in the art market, with the kind of the abstraction of the market through abstract kind of labour being more embraced, I guess, by the mainstream. There is a lot more art consumed for money or for other ways, by the image sharing. By the kind of like the connection to celebrity and money, which has always been there, because it definitely high.
So what happens to all the stuff after the end?
The last week of the show, a lot of the kind of objects that I would imagine people might want are available for people to take from the show. There's a few things I want to reuse that I'll get possibly to take over when she comes to Melbourne next. It all takes calories. Yeah.
I don't see a suitcase around.
Most of the paper bits and the smaller bits, definitely will pack down the top. So you can put one of the plastic bags. But there's a little bags, and plastic bags, so they should be okay.
So by giving things away, that sort of like is like spreading the anarchist kind of. In a way, you can take it,
and it
goes around the city, and hopefully.
Yeah, and those objects can extend with whatever life they want. It doesn't have to be, it can be I think someone had looked at that at an op shop who was talking to me the other day and said that their daughter wanted it till 16 years, and she had CDs. That's one life, or it might become something, or someone might treat it more as that object, that's kind of what I do. In past shows I've had different iterations of that. So I've had some shows where they've been like barter-based shows, or and a show coming up where it's just people just take the whole show from the start. It depends on those. Obviously there's a lot of consideration to place in those mappings, but it's nice for the work to have a flight. And where the barter and free kind of aspect to it comes into it. It definitely takes distances me quite a bit. Yeah, that lived, I guess that lived from over anarchism that people, like I guess the Occupy movement and David Grover, people like that, talked about it in regards to like direct democracy and those kind of things. Whereas I mean, I have some differences and don't necessarily position myself within that kind of, well, that kind of Occupy movement or direct democracy. But David Grover. I guess that aspect of it that you were talking about, where it's more of a direct thing than a theory aspect of it, is something that I'm finding interesting to start writing a master's, and I have found interesting and fun and problematic and challenging and hard, but all at the same time. And poetry's one direction that I've kind of gone in, both visual poetry, like performing the installation, and also text-based poetry. So a lot of projects I worked on in the last couple of years have included some form of abstract poetry, or poetry, generative poetry, I guess. Which has been a way to engage, I guess, with writing and dialogue in a practical kind of sense.
By doing rather than like sitting outside the work and writing about it.
Yeah, by making.